And isn't it good to be in the house of God? There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world right now, and I believe that coming to church is like an alternative to all the craziness that's going on in the world right now. Amen. Praise God. Well, we are beginning a new series this morning called Discover the Bible. And we're going to be talking about really how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible, given an overview of the Bible and things like that. It's exciting. It's going to be several weeks. I don't know how long it'll be because it really could, it could probably go on forever, really. So we'll go a few weeks, see how far we get, and then we may come back to it and revisit it in some months. We just finished up a series called The Antichrist Spirit, and that's on our YouTube channel. That's on our website. If you missed that and want to get caught up, you can do that. But we're starting a new series today, again, called Discover the Bible. And we're going to look at what the Word of God is and how it impacts us, and just to get the most out of it as Christians. So we're going to begin with that question: what is the Bible? To begin with, what is the Bible? Well, simply put, the Bible is a written record of the words of God. It's a written record of the things that God said and decided were the most important things that we needed to know about Him, but also about this world that we live in. And it's, again, it's recorded. Now, it is important for me to point out that I'm not going to spend a lot of time in this series proving that the Bible is God's Word. I believe personally that that's very easily done, and I've done it in other series. For example, the most recent one was called The Fact of Christmas, and that was in 2022. That's on the website. You can look that up. We spent a lot of time in that sermon talking about that Christmas is a fact, not just a thing that we celebrate every December. And we did that by proving that the Bible is the Word of God. But you can find that on the website. But there's a lot of great resources out there, many of which I've mentioned several times. I'm just going to hit them real fast. Write them down if you're interested, because that's not what this series is about. But there's a lot of good information out there. My favorite one is I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist by Norman Geisler. If you haven't read it, get it. One of the best books out there, not only about proving the Word of God, but the existence of God as well. Another one, Case for Christ, Lee Strobel, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell, all great resources on that topic. But I'm going to start and assume that if you're in here this morning, you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Three of you do, but I'm going to believe and assume that if you're in here this morning, you believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Amen. A few more. Okay, y'all, just the quiet group this morning. But we're going to start there, because we could we could spend a lot of time on that, and we're not going to do that. So what is the Bible? It is a written record of the words of God. Kind of a weird follow-up question: what are words? Now, I know that is like, oh, that is just so basic that we don't even think about what words are. But have you ever thought about how strange words really are, and what their purpose is? Because basically what's going on this morning is I have a bunch of thoughts up here in my mind, and I have to figure out how to transmit them somehow to your mind. Now, if we go to like a computer, we'd have to have a cable, right? I'd hook a cable up here, and that'd be sometimes easier, right? If I had a cable, just plug it in here. You had a port, and I could plug it in there, and I could basically transmit what was in my mind directly to yours, and hopefully nothing would get lost in translation. We don't have that. It's all wirelessly done through words, right? And so what happens is when I have a thought, my brain then goes into these steps and actions to produce a sound that comes out of my mouth using my vocal cords and lips and tongue and all these weird things. And finally, there's a sound that is produced. And on your end, you got your ear, and some are bigger than others, smaller than others, but we all have ears, and some of them hear better than others. And that sound that I made comes in. It makes a vibration on the eardrum, And I don't know the exact whole process. It's way too technical for me. But eventually those vibrations are translated into electrical signals that go up the auditory nerve to your brain and somehow communicates to you what I've been trying to say. So when we say it's a written record of the words of God, I think we almost have to start with what words are to begin with. And basically what words are, they are vessels that carry knowledge, information, and revelation. So when we say we have a written record of the words of God, what we're saying is it's a book filled with these little capsules, these of knowledge, information, and revelation that was in the mind of God that he's trying to get transmitted up here to your mind. And can we just begin by saying that the Bible clearly teaches this, that our thoughts are not like his thoughts. Our mind is not like his mind. Our thoughts are way, way, way below ours. And so he's way up there and we're way down here on level of thinking. But the more of his words that you get up here, the more in alignment you get with him. And so he gave us a written record because that was the best way to do it. If it was just passed down orally, that then it could change, right? Well, I could say this and it get skewed and you wouldn't remember it just right and it would be faulty and it would be communicated. But a written record was a way to say, no, this is what God said and it never changes. Can I say that again? This is what God says and it never changes. Amen. It doesn't matter what anybody's opinion is on it. It's the words of God. And once we really understand what it is, by the way, why would you want to change it? Why would you want to edit it? Why would you want to say the Bible says something it doesn't say? You're literally changing the revelation and the information that God said, this is correct, this is right, this is truth. So the Bible is the words of God, and that means that the words are carriers of his knowledge, his information, and his revelation. Have you ever played the game Charades? And do you have anybody in your family or your circle that plays charades and every time they just can't seem to understand the rules of charades? That it's a silent game, okay? You cannot use words and you cannot use sounds. And some people, they're like, they get pig and yeah, they say, okay, you can't say the word pig, but you're over there like, no, you can't do that. That's cheating, okay? Charades is silent. But think about how difficult it is when you play charades, to communicate something simple like pig without using words. Because you got the thought and they're paying attention, they're looking, they're watching you, but you can't get across pig, it seems, without words. That's why I say that. Then we begin to understand when you play charades, you begin to understand how critical words are for communicating information accurately, right? So what words do, if you use words well, what ends up happening is you create a picture in the other person's mind. And so like if I begin describing a beautiful, serene lake with mountains in the background and clouds and the sunset and beautiful pine trees coming and an eagle soaring, you all start beginning to see the picture that, so there's a picture forming in your mind, but just from you hearing words that are coming out of my mouth. And so this is exactly what God did. And as we begin to understand what they are, we begin to better understand scriptures like John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." And this has always been a little bit confusing to people because what he's actually talking about is Jesus. And he calls Jesus the Word. And it's hard, you know, again, it's a little bit hard to explain. Excuse me. Why does the Bible call Jesus the Word? Well, as we described before, once you begin to understand what words are, you could really read this scripture this way. In the beginning was the ultimate carrier of God's knowledge, information, and revelation. See, the Bible says that Jesus actually created a picture for us of who and what God is. See, in the Old Testament, we got all these words in the Old Testament to help us understand God. But he said, you never fully really understood me until you saw Jesus. when you see Jesus, when you understand the life of Jesus, when you read about the life of Jesus, you are seeing, actually, the book of Hebrews says, the perfect image and the perfect imprint of God, who God is. So when it says that Jesus is the Word, what it's really saying is he's the perfect image and picture of God. And as far as God trying to communicate knowledge, revelation, and information, Jesus was the perfect carrier of that to us. So continue reading. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Amen. And that's who Jesus is, and that's who we worship. Amen. Praise God. Another thing you need to know about Scripture is that it is God-breathed, and it is accurate, and it is perfect, and it is infallible. Every word of it is the Word of God. That's what we believe. That's what Christians believe. That's what Christians should and ought to believe. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture, everybody say all. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Hey, are we humble enough to just say that we don't know everything? And that we need teaching, reproof, correction, and training, and that all comes by the Word of God. See, this was God's plan from the beginning. Think about it. Ever since the church was first formed, this is what we've been doing. We come together, it looks a little different, right? You could go to one church, one denomination, but they're all basically doing the same thing. They gather, they usually sing, they usually teach the Word of God. There's probably some prayer, there's some fellowship, a lot of different things going on, but primarily we come together, we worship God, and then we learn from His Word. And this was God that set this up. This was God that said, you need this every week in your life. At least once a week, you need this in your life to come and worship somebody that is greater than you, that is bigger than you, that is higher than you. Amen. He's the Most High. He's higher than you. And to come and learn and listen from His Word and receive what? Encouragement? Sometimes. But that's not in this list. Encouragement? Hey, encouragement is great. I love to be encouraged. But did you know that I'm not always encouraged every time I read the Word of God? Sometimes when I read the Word of God, I say, ouch. There's a lot of Christians, though, the Bible says they want their ear tickled. And if they're not encouraged every time they come to church, then they just go find somewhere else to go. That's not what the purpose of the Word of God is. The purpose of the Word of God is not to make you feel good. The purpose of the Word of God is to heal you, to deliver you, and really to align you with God's thoughts. That's what the purpose is. In other words, anywhere that you're out of alignment, when you read God's words, you'll get in alignment. You'll see, man, I'm thinking like this, but God's Word says I ought to be thinking about this. One of two things has to happen. Either He has to change or I have to change. And He's not changing. Right? So a true believer, a true Christian, when they read the Word, they don't read the Word to try to fit it in with what they already believe. When a true Christian reads the Word, they want to go, this is perfect, this is accurate, and anywhere I'm off on this, I've got to bring it in alignment with God.
That's it.
But you see this happening in our world right now where people are not doing that. They have a belief, they have a lifestyle, they have a sin in their life, and they want to try to make the Bible say that that sin is okay. How many of you know that's not right? And no Christian ought to really be doing that. And really anybody who is doing that is likely that they're not a Christian, because a true Christian wants to know what God says on it and to get themselves in alignment with that. So all Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training. That is the purpose of the Word of God. And therefore, that is the purpose of church. The purpose of church is to come and get teaching, reproof, correction, and training. How do you know sometimes correction and reproof is not pleasant? It doesn't make you feel all warm and fuzzy. Okay? But I'm not that interested in feeling warm and fuzzy. I got a lot of other ways I can feel warm and fuzzy. A lot of other things I can go do to feel warm and fuzzy, right, in this life. But when I come to church, and there's going to be a lot of encouragement, yes, but out of love, God says, you need to change. And so there's some correction, there's some reproof, and there's some training. That means growth. There's growth that happens. For what? That the man of God or woman of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. Did you understand that? That's the purpose of the church, is to equip, train, mature the believer, the body of Christ, so that we grow up and can do more and be more effective and more impactful in this world that we live in. That's the purpose of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 says, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man. You see, this is a lot of the times when you hear critics of the Word of God, this is what they will say. They say, well, man wrote that. Man, you know, people wrote that. So how do we know that it's the Word of God? Well, again, we could prove that in other ways. We're not going to do that this morning. But Scripture itself says, no, Scripture did not come from the mind of man. Yes, man was the vessel. Man's hand wrote it. He was the vessel that the Word of God flowed through, and that the Word of God, that God chose to use that vessel to write down His Word. But it did not come from the will of man. But look what it says. But men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So the Word of God is breathed out by the Spirit of God, and it is written down, and it is perfect, it is infallible, and it is unchangeable. This is why we get such strong warnings in Scripture that we are not allowed to change or edit the Word of God. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, for example, Moses is writing the law. God is speaking through Moses, and he says this, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18, he tells the apostle John the same thing. He says, I warn everyone who hears the words of this the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. Have you read that book? There's a lot in there. Scorpions with shields and fire. It's the earth opening up. There's a lot of stuff going on. And he says, if anyone adds to this book, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away the words of this book, of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. So that, you can see, it is extremely serious. Now, it wouldn't be super common, let's say, okay? It has happened in history and things like that. But it wouldn't be super common for any of us to try and actually physically change the Word of God, like by going to edit a manuscript or something like that, even though that was happening at one point. But how many know this still applies to us today? Because no, you can't physically go in and edit a manuscript. Right? You can't physically go in and change the Word of God like you might have been thinking about when you read this Scripture, but you can go in and twist it. You can go in and add things to it. I hear it done all of the time by Christians and sometimes pastors in churches even that want to twist the Word of God to make it say something it doesn't say, particularly on a sin or a lifestyle or something that is immoral. And listen, how many of you understand that it would be much better for us that instead of trying to edit, change, twist, make fit the word, it would be better for us to take the posture as students and learners and say, I just want to know the truth of what the Word of God says. And whatever it says, I want to adapt my life to it. I don't want to adapt it to fit my life. There are theological words for this, And it's described, one is eisegesis. It's a Greek word that means to put in. And so one way of reading the Bible is that as you read it, you are putting in your own thoughts. In other words, you're reading it through your lens and your interpretation of the world. And as you read the Bible, you read into it what you want to hear and what you already believe. The other word, which is the proper way to read the Bible, is called exegesis, and it means to extract. And what it means is that I'm not looking to put anything in it. I understand there's truth, there's revelation, there's power here, and so I just want to extract that truth and let it change me. I'm not trying to add anything to it. Now, that's not always going to be popular. And by the way, the whole church at large, right? I'm talking about the body of Christ globally, worldwide, is not always going to accept that and not always going to go in that direction. The Bible prophesied and told us that in the end times, it says that people would have itching ears and that they would heap to themselves teachers that teach false things to soothe their conscience and basically to justify what they're doing. Some of the things we see happening even now in our world. But there's a different posture you can take with God. It's a posture of humility that says, He knows everything. His word is perfect. I don't know everything. And I'm going to adapt myself to His word and let His word change me. Amen? Amen. This was the posture that David had when he wrote Psalm 119. If you read Psalms 119, it's the longest chapter in the Bible. And every verse in there, if you go read it, every verse in there is something he is saying about the Word of God. Every verse. It's just a reflection of how great the Word and the commandments and the law of God is. He uses different words. He'll call it the commands of God, the law of God, the precepts of God, the Word of God. He'll call it different things. But in every single verse, he's talking about the value that the Word of God has been in his life. And in Psalm 119, 130, he says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, and it imparts understanding to the simple." So as the word of God comes forth, you could think of it like this, that before we met Christ, to a degree, our minds are in darkness. We do not see everything clearly. We do not understand everything clearly. But as the Word of God comes, it gives us revelation about the way things really are. Light comes in to our mind, and it changes us from being simple to being wise. He says, "The unfolding of your words gives light, and it imparts understanding to the simple." Now, it wasn't too long ago. I listened to a podcast. It was probably a couple years ago. And there was this lady on there that she had been born and raised her entire life in North Korea. And some of you may have heard her tell her story. It was going around for a while, and she was on a bunch of different shows explaining her story, but I don't remember her name at the moment. But she was explaining what it was like to be in North Korea her whole life, because when they're raised in North Korea, the narrative is controlled. And there's no outside influence of what the world is really like. You know, there's no newspapers, there's no internet, there's nothing that could say, hey, here's what the world is really like. And so their whole life, they are fed a lie about what the world is really like. They're fed a lie about what North Korea really is like and what place it holds in the world. It's all lies. And so she was explaining what it was like the first time that she actually came out of North Korea and escaped and ended up in South Korea. And South Korea actually has a process of people coming out of North Korea, because it's something that happens, you know, it's fairly common, not extremely common, but it's fairly common. And so they have a process of when people come out of North Korea, how to introduce them to what the world is really like. In other words, how to introduce them to the truth of what the world really is. Because if they showed them all at once, they said they go into shock. They almost can't handle it. Because your whole worldview is shattering. You've believed for so long that the world was one way, and you're finding out that your whole life has been a lie. And that everything you believed was completely, completely false. In a similar sort of way, this is what happens when people read the Bible. See, you go through life and you think like you see people and you see governments and you see things going and you think, oh, this is what life is. You know, you have fun, you live for yourself, you live the American dream, and you have one idea of what the world is. But as you read the Bible, light begins to come in and you begin to understand, whoa, wait a minute. The earth is not what I thought it was. Man is not what I thought he was. God is not who I thought he was. And you begin to see light. And that's why David wrote this. He said, the unfolding of your word as it unfolds, the unfolding of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. How many of you, you just don't raise your hand, but just think about how you thought maybe 20 years ago on some things, especially if you weren't saved and you never read the Bible or you never, and the way you thought about things versus how you think today. As a pastor, I get the joy of walking people through that all of the time, where maybe 5 years ago they were just coming to the Lord, and then 5 years later, the way they think, the way they see life, the way they see marriage, the way they see God, the way they see everything has completely changed. I remember the first time that I read the Bible through cover to cover. Now, you got to understand, I have been raised in church my whole life. I'd heard more sermons than I could count. I mean, I heard every sermon there was to hear on every topic. I was raised from the time I was born in church. I was there every time the doors were open. I was raised in children's church, Bible stories, memory verses, the whole thing, Sunday school, all of it. And I thought, you know, and then as a teenager, I began preaching the Word of God. I was preaching the Word of God myself, teaching the Word of God to other people. But I remember when I read the Bible through for the first time, it changed my entire worldview. Even though I knew the Bible very, very well. I knew the Bible very, very well. But reading it through cover to cover completely changed my worldview. Why? Because the unfolding of your word gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. And I challenge you, and it's quite a challenge, by the way, but if you read the Bible through, if you do read the Bible through, some people do it in a year. We were doing it for a while in 90 days. One year we did it twice in 90 days, me and Jen, because it was just, we were getting so much out of it. But if you read the Bible through cover to cover, I promise you, there are areas of your thinking that will change. You say, well, I've been saved for 40 years. I don't care. Read it through cover to cover. Every time I read it through, even though I've read it through before, every time I read it through, something else, light comes in on that area. Light comes in, things I didn't see before, things I didn't understand before. Why? Because it's the Word of God. And I don't believe we'll ever get all the revelation that's in it, even until we're on the other side. I don't think we'll ever get all the revelation of it. Because every time you read it, I love how the scripture says it just keeps unfolding. Every time you read it, another layer is unfolded before you, and it just keeps bringing light, and it imparts understanding to the simple. Now, here's what you have to understand. I really want you to get this, because the rest of this series is going to be about how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible, how to get the most out of the Bible, how to understand the big themes in the Bible. But I really want you to get this. If I could just say it the simplest way possible, everything that you want out of life, every single thing that you think you want out of life, I promise you the answer is in God's Word. And I wish I could get people to understand that, because I see people running around aimlessly pursuing a lot of different things. People pursue, you know, just look across the world. People pursue fame. They pursue money. They think, oh, if I could just get this house, or I could just get to this place in life, or I could just achieve this level in the company, or if my company could get to this size, or if they're single, they usually think, oh, if I could just get married and start a family. And it's always something else, isn't it? And then when you get that thing, that didn't quite do it, and so then you're pursuing something else. And it's on and on and on and on. And I wish I could just get people to understand everything that you're after. Everything that you think you want in this life, I promise you the answer is in God's Word. God will teach you from His Word. He will show you the proper place of money. He'll show you the proper place of family. He'll show you the proper place of everything. It's all in there. But we have to value it for what it is. Let me ask you, how many Christians do you think are sitting in this room? Don't raise your hand. Don't point to anybody. That have never read the Bible through. Now, I don't criticize it, because I didn't read the Bible through for a long time. Because I'd been raised and I heard it taught, I thought, oh, I know what's in there. And I thought, well, I probably have read it. You know, I've read all different parts, jumped around. I probably read it all. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people that call this book the foundation of their life, and they've never read it. And I know because sometimes I talk to them. As a pastor, I talk to them, and they come to me shocked. They go, I was reading my Bible this morning. I read this. I can't believe that's in there. I can't believe God would do that. I can't believe God thinks like that. I go, yeah, you hadn't read it. And it's not. And what you're talking about is not real popular for a sermon, so you don't hear it preached on a lot. But it's in there. And I guarantee you, if you read it through, you will read certain things that will cause you to recoil, and you will go, I did not know God thought like that. I did not know that God would have made that judgment or that decision. There's a lot of things you'll read in there that you maybe agree with, some you don't agree with. But listen, but if you take the posture of, he's right, and I'll adjust my thinking to him, you'll always benefit from it. And what you'll find is light, 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 and more light just keeps coming in, keeps coming in. The unfolding of his word gives light, and it imparts understanding to the simple. Joshua 1, chapter 8. This is the last passage we're going to read this morning. Joshua 1, 8. And this is what I was saying earlier about everything you're after is connected to God's word. It says, this book of the law, God spoke this to Joshua as he was taken over for Moses. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Now, first of all, look at how seriously he expects Joshua to take his words. Why? Because it's God's words. I'm just thinking from God's perspective. I didn't ever speak one word that I didn't expect to be taken seriously. I didn't ever speak one word that I thought could just be cast aside as if it wasn't important. Every word I've ever spoken was for a reason. It was very deliberate. It was very intentional. And so he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That means you should be speaking it, saying it, reading it, quoting it. And then he said, but you shall meditate on it day and night. How many of you know meditating is not the same thing as just reading it once? Meditating means I'm reading it and I'm contemplating it. I'm thinking, what does this scripture mean? How does it apply? This is a part of my daily prayer life. One of my favorite things to do in my prayer life is to take one scripture and write it out and then just spend time thinking on that, writing out what it means to me, how I understand it, how my understanding has changed over it through the years, meditating on God's word. And then because I do that in the mornings, it'll be on my mind throughout the day. I'm meditating on God's word. He says, meditate on it day and night. There's a lot of things we're meditating on in this culture today, but I'm not sure God's word is one of them. I'm not sure how high that is up there. And for a lot of believers, what they really are meditating on, it ends up coming out a lot. You talk to them and you find out what they really are meditating on. And they could quote a lot of stuff. They could tell you a lot of information about a lot of things that are out there, but maybe not so much about the Word of God. But look, everything we're after in life is right here in this book. But this is what he said. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And if you do it, he makes you this promise, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. That's a way of summing up what I was saying earlier. Everything you're after is in this book. If you do that, if you meditate on God's word, if you speak God's word so that you're careful to do it, careful to obey it, you got to have the whole formula there, right? It's not enough just to be a hearer of the word. We know that. But if you hear the word of God, you meditate on the word of God, and then it leads to changing your behavior and your actions, and so you're careful to do the word of God, there will be a result. And the result will be you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. How? Prosperous and successful in your family. Prosperous and successful in your marriage. Prosperous and successful in your business. Prosperous and successful in the kingdom of God. Everything you touch will be blessed because You're meditating on God's word, and you've set it up as the final authority in your life. And so you're obeying it, you're following it, and you're yielding to it. The result will be prosperity and success in every way. You see, God wants what is best for you. Some people read the word of God and they think, man, that's harsh, that's mean, that's, you know, why would he say it like that? Everything that's in there is for your benefit. Everything that's in there is for you. It's for your safety. It's for your protection. Sometimes our kids feel that way. You know, you can't do this. Can I do that? No. Why? Why? Because we love you and we know the world that's really out there and we're trying to protect you. And this is what the word of God is. The word of God is God's love and protection and provision for us, saying, hey, don't go here. Don't do that. It's going to hurt you. It's going to cause damage. It's going to cause pain. It's going to cause problems. It's not to hem you in. It's so that you can prosper and have good success. That's what he wants in your life. Amen.